along.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush, rush, rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
It is South Sydney and Manly.
Turbo top.
Puts a foot down. Beats one, beats another. Gives it to Garrick. Goodbye. Oh, he got no trouble. What's wrong with this?
Obstruction, maybe.
We probably didn't do ourselves any favours in that first half. Probably the two disallowed tries. We probably needed one of those to fall our way. But no, well done to South. They were too good.
Batted back by South. Taken by Cook now. Left foot grubber. Cooney's over. He's got a double. What a kick.
Yeah, I just like the way we defended tonight. It's a wonderful team with these guys, and they've done a great job this year. They've won, 22 out of 26 games or something. Pretty remarkable.
The first grand final spot is decided. It belongs to South Sydney, and the prelim final begins. South Sydney waiting. Who will they meet?
Cleary.
Oh, he puts in a chopping kick. That is an extraordinary play. He has kicked it sideways. Stephen Crichton catches it, plants it down.
At the end of the day, we got what we deserved. The Panthers got what they deserved. You know, they were the best side out there tonight, and they got the win.
Panthers have got it. Luai finishes with the ball.
Super proud of the boys today. Very courageous. Some of the try saves we've come up with were just amazing. Great achievement, but you know we know the pain of losing. So we're certainly going to be sitting back enjoying the week, but looking forward to putting in another great performance next week.
They have beaten the defending premiers. The team that ruined their dream in 2020 is the team Penrith get past in one of the great matches. This has been one for the ages.
This is it. We've arrived. NRL Grand Final week. Panthers, Bunnies, Brisbane Suncorp Stadium this Sunday. We've got a whole week of build-up, MG.
Yeah, fantastic. Look, firstly, after them press conferences, let me say, very classy from both Des Hasler and Craig Bellamy, both giving the other team who beat them full credit, which I love. Two very contrasting prelims, weren't they, Liam? South gave it to the Seagulls, but the Panthers and Storm, as Dan mentioned in that broadcast, played one for the ages in a blockbuster, which was a fantastic show of defence that Penrith put on the Melbourne Storm. And like Penrith got beaten by South Sydney 2 weeks ago, no one saw this one coming. No one saw Melbourne only scoring 6 points in a prelim final.
We have got all week to rip into this game. Today, we're going to have a look back at the Panthers' performance. Nathan Cleary's going to join us. We've got the Dally M's happening tonight. Heaps to get stuck into. But off the top, we've got to do this.
What's cracking?
Chip kick. Where's the chase? Penrith have got it. Penrith have got it. Luai finishes with the ball. And Penrith have hung on and won an epic preliminary final.
10-6, the Penny Panthers winning on Saturday night. They return to the grand final after losing last year's to the Storm. MG, to borrow a line from Basil Zemplis at the Tokyo Games, to become a legend, you got to beat a legend, and the Panthers beat a legend on Saturday night.
They did. They certainly did. And I've got to give credit, I think, first of all, credit to Tevita Pengai Jr. He was enormous in that opening stanza, 10, 15 minutes of that first half, because he went in for the injured Moses Leota, and he ruffled some feathers. He ruffled some feathers, and the Melbourne Storm weren't ready for that, because no one in Penrith has done that in the last couple of seasons when they've played them. They've always beat them by skill and finesse. Not aggression. And Pengai Jr., he realised that he's got to beat, win by an aggressive tone, and he said it. I thought Capewell's defence was out of this world. Isaiah Yeo was enormous. Dylan Edwards. Look, when you lose Christian Welsh with a HIA and Brandon Smith, both in the first half, goodbye. You didn't see them again. That's a massive blow.
Yeah.
But Penrith defence, Melbourne kept coming back, but Penrith repelled them. That one tackle there that I saw, I think it was Sorensen and Capewell on Justin Olam, half a centimetre out from the line. Like, that's gutsy stuff. And George Jennings, if he takes that ball in the first half, things change. But you can only play what is in front of you, as they say. And I was on the edge of my seat for this whole game. It was just a fantastic display of rugby league. And even I wasn't the only one doing it, because the ratings of this game were up 30%. Oh. The people are watching, obviously, a lot of New South Welshmen who we can't get out of our homes or our workplaces. We're tuned into the TV, and what we're seeing is fantastic brand of rugby league.
Another tick to Peter Volandis for making the decision to move the game back and not put it in direct competition with the AFL Grand Final because it got the eyeballs that this contest deserved. Just on to Vita Pangai Jr., he's in a knee brace today. There is a serious possibility that this medial, he's done a medial, and he is in. He is the biggest watch of Grand Final week as far as injuries go. And the other one being Adam Reynolds for the Bunnies as well. So there's a big injury watch for both of these teams. Sticking with the Panthers-Storm game, though, that's probably the most error-riddled performance the Storm have delivered almost all season.
Yeah, they picked the worst time to play their worst game of this season. That was handling errors. Wow. They just couldn't take a trick. They couldn't catch a ball. And that's what pressure does. Pressure does that. Pressure builds. And when you're in an elimination final, when you know this could be your last game of the season, that, you know, they probably didn't do themselves any favours by being Manly so well 2 weeks ago because it didn't really gear them up for some, you know, arm wrestles on the field. Yeah. Where Penrith have played South 2 weeks ago, they played Parramatta last week. Now they've played they've played Melbourne in what's been three juggernaut of games.
Yeah.
Like, and they've steeled themselves. The steely resolve is there. I'm a realist. I think this game on Sunday could go one of two ways. There is no clear cut favourite for mine. I think both teams are in fantastic form, and it's going to be one of them cases of may the best team win.
The other talking point for the Panthers, I guess, was Isaiah Yeo's act as the co-skipper of the team to bring the team together on the field afterwards. And you've got, the parallels for you must be eerie. The fact that Isaiah Yeo's dragged them together and said, "Hey, we haven't achieved anything yet." And for you, all the 30 years ago, you were in this exact same spot, winning your way into a grand final, having lost the 1990 against the Raiders and a chance for redemption in 91.
I could imagine that Isaiah would have been saying, you know that feeling we had last year when we saw the Melbourne Storm pick that trophy up? Remember it. Remember it when this weekend comes, when this week comes, when the build-up comes. Whenever you've got a spare second, think of how you felt when they lifted the trophy, because we don't want to feel that ever again. That's the worst feeling you can have in our game, and we've had it once. We don't want it twice. So calm the farm and let's just get back to basics and let's go out and beat South Sydney on Sunday.
Yeah, emotion can't sustain you through 25 rounds and a final series, but it might be enough to get the Panthers over the line this weekend. I don't know why the great band Europe wrote this song, MG, but it feels like it was written just for this NRL Grand Final.
Oh, yeah. Well, it is. It's the final countdown. We know that this is the first time since 2014. We've got two Sydney clubs involved in a Grand Final, so the atmosphere, the tension is rampant.
Yeah. We're going to be looking at storylines all this week. Yes. Each day on the show, MG, we're going to be having a look at the narrative, the stories that are contained within this one game on Sunday. And we've got to start with the coaches because in week one of the finals, for those that have forgotten, South Sydney upset the Panthers.
Yeah.
And it all got focused in on the battle between the two coaches. Ivan gave a quote to a newspaper about South Sydney rushing on Nathan and the refs needing to protect him. And Wayne Bennett responded about dirty tactics of blocking. And then Ivan came back and said, you know, they've got poor discipline. And then Wayne said, I was, you know, back and forthing. The master defeated the apprentice on that occasion.
Of course he did. Of course he did. And quite rightly so, because that's what Wayne Bennett has made a career on.
Mm.
You know, he's the super coach for that reason. And Ivan has quite smartly come out and stated he will not engage any hyperbole with the super coach. Yep. And I think that's a smart move.
Well, naturally, Ivan was asked about it after the game. And here is what he put.
No. No, I wish so. I mean, Wayne's the best. He's the best coach probably of all time, certainly in my memory. So I'll be doing what I'm good at and staying in the background this week.
Perfect answer.
You get the
just,
feeling.
Just enough. Just he's given him enough a little pat in the back with he's the best coach of all time.
And yep.
Yeah, I like it. I like that, what he said.
I would imagine that's the longest answer Ivan Cleary will give about Wayne Bennett this week. I think it will be very short stuff. But on the other side of the things, Wayne Bennett, the master, the narrative controller, the storyteller. Oh,
yeah. The puppeteer.
The puppeteer. He's pulling all the strings because he was asked a question about the Brisbane Broncos and his departure from that club. And here's what he had to say.
You know, I will say publicly, they undermined me
in their conversations with South. So they didn't do a little job on me. They did the best job they possibly could. But to South's credit, there's some people there that had worked with me before. They were happy to bite the bullet and give me the opportunity. And I wrestled Crow, and hopefully tonight, that's part of the repayment that what the team's done that means so much to him. It was refreshing, to be honest with you. The last 3 years have been as refreshing years I've had in coaching for a long time.
Do you feel vindication, Wayne? Because Brisbane felt you were washed up.
Well, they felt a lot of things. I wasn't listening to them. And if I thought I was washed up as a coach, I wouldn't coach. I wouldn't coach another day.
And just like that, MG.
Well, so, maybe Pete Bedell and Wayne Bennett should be doubles partner in tennis, just so one could put the lob up and one could slam it, because you can see that coming a mile away. You can see it coming a mile away about the Broncos. And, look, it's the facts don't lie. In rounds 18 to 25, South Sydney have been the best team. So to use the old terminology of a race course, they look primed. They look primed. And how many times do you want me to say it? I'm not going to apologise anymore, but when Latrell was ruled out, I said they can't win the comp. No way. am I still thinking that now? Because they're for and against. Their differential in them around 18 to 25 is quite outstanding. They played 8 games and their differential is 171. Melbourne are next with the same 93, then the Manly and Penrith. So the last 7 weeks, they've been the best team.
Yep.
Can they go one step further? Of course they can.
Yep.
Of course they can. But I love the fact that both coaches, who are pretty similar in a lot of ways, but so, so different in so many other ways, like that. The plan on the weekend, when we'll talk to Nathan Cleary later in the show about his dad's planning for that game and how they watched James Tedesco kick that ball across field.
Yes.
We'll ask him about all that. He's a thinker, Ivan. He's a very smart man, very, very smart man, and both highly intelligent coaches, and it's going to be a fantastic game playing the boxes as well as on the Suncorp Stadium.
The genius, just getting back to Wayne's comment about the Broncos there, the genius of that, and some people might say, oh, he didn't mean it to that extent. I think he did. The genius of it, because this game is being played in Brisbane at Suncorp Stadium.
Yep, yep.
When you make a comment like that, what it does to the local media and the local focus, it becomes all about the Broncos again, a team whose season ended 4 weeks ago.
Nothing about Souths.
He has driven this narrative beautifully, played the ball into the exact corner of the field where he wants it to sit for the start of the week. He'll come out and say something else on Thursday. He'll come out and give another comment that just moves the ball. He's just kicking to the corners. He knows exactly where he wants all the attention to be this week. And come Sunday, we'll sit there going, hold on, we haven't actually discussed South Sydney that much. What's happened?
Yeah, it's all been about Wayne. And by the time it's about 10 o'clock this Sunday night, we'll know whether his plan has worked or not.
The coaching battle going to be just as intriguing as the one that happens on the field. Of course, it's all thanks to the Mitsubishi Triton. For over 40 years, the Mitsubishi Triton has helped Australians get the hard jobs done. Power, performance, 5-star safety, towing, latest technology, it's all that stuff, MG.
Yeah, you've got to think that for 40 years, if they've been top of their game for 40 years, they're doing something right.
Mm. And that's why they're not scared of anything. That's why the Triton is not scared of anything.
Boo.
Exactly. See, I reacted, but the Triton doesn't.
That's right.
Go and see your Mitsubishi dealer today. Ask them about a Triton. Tell them MJ and Liam sent you. And when that doesn't
get you anywhere. If they say to you, what they say, just buzz off.
Hey, tonight is the night.
Tonight is night.
The NRL Grand Final week. It kicks off tonight with...
Oh, in Hollywood.
Not the Oscars, but the Dally M Awards.
Far more important than the
happening
Oscars.
Happening at our favourite spot in Brisbane, MG, the Howard Smith Wharves.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah, that was the...
Don't tell me that.
That was the brewery where you pretended to be security and got us in trouble for cheating at trivia.
ID, please. Got your ID, mate.
It's a good thing we're not up there, actually, because we wouldn't be allowed in at the awards.
You got the QR code? Yeah. Yep, good boy. Yeah, on you go.
I need to see your vaccine passport, please, sir. Right, let's get into it. And the team of the year, you've already, if those of you that listen to the Scrum on the weekends will know MG's team of the year, but we're going to rattle through it. Starting at fullback, your nominees are Tedesco, Ponga, Kennedy, Trbojevic, and Ryan Pappenhausen.
Tom Trbojevic.
Tommy Turbo. Wingers, you get to pick two of these. You're, of course, picking a team of the year. It started last season. Garrick, Adokar, To'o, Saab, and Johnston.
I think Brian To'o is my first one picked, and I think because of the record-breaking season that he had scoring points, I think Ruben Garrick.
Yeah, it has to be.
He tried hard on Friday night against the Rabbitohs too. I thought he was great again. So Ruben Garrick.
Has to be acknowledged. Centres, your nominees are Burton, Manu, Best, Olam and Gagai.
Matty Burton is one, and Justin Olam is the other.
At the moment, we're seeing nothing but prelim finals teams, which is fair as well. 5-8 nominees, Dewey, Munster, Walker and Luai.
Cody Walker.
Halfback, Hughes, Cherry Evans, Reynolds and Cleary.
Nathan Cleary.
Now we're into the forwards. Prop nominees, we'll do the front row as a whole. The prop nominees are Daniel Saifidi, Jared Warrior-Hargreaves, James Fisher-Harris, Payne Haas, Christian Welch. And your hooker nominees are Coruscant, Harry Grant, Brandon Smith and Damien Cook.
My front rowers are Payne Haas and James Fisher-Harris. Christian Welch just misses out. But he had a fantastic year. There's Daniel Saifidi, who I think was fantastic for the Knights.
And what about your hooker?
Brandon Smith.
Brandon Smith. What about that for the nominees for number nine?
They missed him on the weekend, big time.
All right. And your second rowers? Olakau'atu, Kikau, Tupanua, and Papali'i are the nominees.
Papali'i?
That's the Isaiah, the Eels variety.
Yes, and Billy Kikau gets the other one.
Ooh, Tupanua, stiff. And then your lock, number 13, your nominees are Cam Murray, Isaiah Yeo, Dale Finucane, and Jake Trbojevic.
Isaiah Yeo.
Do you know what? Everyone talks about how good the fullback class is at the moment, but the number 13's in the NRL right now.
Yes. Fullback rowers, Tupanua had a fantastic year for the Roosters. Then we've got the young guys from Manly. We've got the young guys from South Sydney. We're stacked with 11s and 12s and 13s. You're right. There's Cam Murray in this class and Jake Trbojevic and Isaiah. Yeah, there's Dale Finucane. I mean, we've been blessed with fantastic locks, as we used to call them in the old days.
All right, there's MG's Team of the Year. We've got a few more awards to get you. We've already announced on this show that Tom Trbojevic will take out the Dally M medal. That is confirmed. You can take that as read. Coach of the Year for yours?
My Coach of the Year is Trent Robinson for what he's done with a team that was basically looked like they were out of mash. It was just on operating tables and retirements and suspensions. Hey, Klinger. I'm astounded by what they did this year in the competition with so many obstacles.
Yep. All right. And then Rookie of the Year. Now, to clarify as well, because this has been a story of the day, Brent Reed told us on Reedy's Monday Mail, Rhys Walsh is not eligible for the award tonight. He cannot win the Rookie of the Year award, and it's got nothing to do with his indiscretions over the weekend.
No.
He served two suspensions this year, which rules him out of this award. So he will not be eligible for Rookie of the Year for the Dally M award, despite winning the Players Association award for Rookie of the Year last week.
A fantastic rookie class of 2021 this season. There's five or six guys who could quite easily slip into the role, but I think I can't go past Sam Walker.
Yeah.
I can't go past the kid who just burst on the scene. So much fanfare, so much pressure. And he just, towards the end of the season, obviously the rigours of his first year in NRL were starting to get to him a bit because he was a little bit banged up and a couple of niggling injuries. But yeah, he's going to be fantastic with another full off season, knowing what he knows now about first grade, then going to hone his skills on how to come back bigger and better. I can't wait to watch him in 2022.
Massive week coming up for the Penrith Panthers, MG, and we're very lucky to be able to welcome their co-captain and halfback to the show, Nathan Cleary. G'day, Nathan.
Hey, how you going?
Natty, mate, let's cut to the chase. What a game. What a freaking game that was on Saturday. No one saw it coming. And even some of the most ardent Penrith supporters would have been a little bit worried about facing Melbourne Storm, but you guys weren't. What a defensive display.
Yeah, it was obviously a massive game, and it always is. So whenever we come up against Melbourne, they're obviously a great team, and you know we knew we had to put our best foot forward, especially in defence, if we wanted to get the win. And you know we just kind of drove that belief and faith within the group, and you know a lot of people were writing us off, but you know we knew if we played the footy we wanted to and defended the way we wanted to, we could get the job done.
I know Ivan and Cam Serrato and all the rest of the support staff would have been emphasising defence wins games in the last 3 weeks. 16-10 against South, 8-6 against Para, 10-6 against Melbourne, 28 points conceded in 3 weeks. That's a fantastic defensive record. Have you done anything different in the last month to steel your defence?
Not really. You know, I think we've always kind of prided ourselves on our defence, and we know that in the big games, you know, your defence has to stand up if you want to win. And although our attack probably could be a bit silkier at times, you know, sometimes finals games are like that. They're just a scrap, and you know, there's obviously a lot of fatigue in the game. And yeah, we're just, I think, just the scramble the last 2 weeks especially has been what's kind of got us over the line. You know, a lot of try saves and stuff like that, and people just turning up for their brothers. So yeah, it's a pleasure to be a part of.
The old adage of you've got to lose one to win one, and you were in this exact same spot last year with your teammates. Can you remember, or can you draw on some lessons from this time last year ahead of this week and for some of those teammates who maybe weren't there last year?
Yeah, I think it's just not trying to play the game in your head before it actually happens. Just trying to relax where you can. It's obviously a pretty big week with all the media commitments and stuff like that, but you know, just enjoying it as well, just enjoying training when we get onto the field and enjoying each other's company. And yeah, just not trying to overthink it. Just being process driven rather than focusing too much on the result. And you know, that's probably the most important thing when we get out there, is not thinking about the end of the game, but thinking about each minute, each play, and how important it is, and just staying present.
Pretty hard, Nath, to gauge the support of the people of Penrith, the city of Penrith, given you haven't played a home game in ages. But mate, I tell you, it's massive. I think it's even more rampant than last year. And look, and TV ratings are telling us that. That's all these final series, they're up by 30%, and probably most of them are coming from New South Wales because we can't get out of our houses. But the support, mate, is mind-blowing. Have you felt that from Queensland as well?
Yeah, as you said, you know, it's a bit of a shame not being back home and being out to physically feel that support. But I know, you know, just through the messages that us and all the boys have been getting, that, you know, everyone's getting behind us, and, you know, we absolutely love the Penrith community and missing everyone down there a lot. So a lot of what we're doing is for those guys stuck in lockdown. It's obviously a tough time, and, you know, we just want to bring that premiership home.
The way Tevita Pangai went about it on the weekend, it's unsurprising that he's come out a little bit bruised and battered. How has he pulled up? How's the knee looking?
Yeah, he's obviously a little bit sore, but, you know, he's just with the medical staff trying to tick a few boxes. I'm not too sure how it'll be for the weekend, but, yeah, I guess we'll get a better indication of that over the next day or so.
Okay, talk us through it. You saw Critter out in the wing. You saw that. You saw the Fox was infield. You went to dummy half. I went, oh, dummy half. What's he going to try and scoot over you? No. I'm going to put one on his chest 30 metres away. Wow. Talk us through it.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, we've kind of been drawing up this play for months. You know, I have to thank Teddy and the Roosters for it earlier in the year. They did it to the Fox. And, yeah, they scored the try. So after that, Dad kind of knew about it. And he was speaking about it. And then we finally got the chance to verse Melbourne again. And we just sort of had to draw up how we were going to go about it. And, yeah, just got to that up. He took the run, got to dummy half, looked up, and Fox took a step in. And I just knew it was on. So I just had to get the kick right. And, yeah, could have scored it.
Were you shitting your pants when you went to dummy half? And went, I've got to put this on his chest. So he's 40 metres away. Or you could come and collect it.
I was actually all right. I was pretty nervous about it during the week, especially knowing that, you know, the first time we got down there, we wanted to do it. But, you know, I got enough practice in, and then in the moment just knew that, yeah, just had to do it.
Nath, you're going to have an Israel Folau type offer from GWS if you keep hitting targets like that, mate. I mean, it was a handy paycheck. It was a handy paycheck.
Don't put bloody ideas in the Giants' heads, mate. They might try and scalp him.
Hey, Nathan, I mean, the build-up is going to be fantastic. We're devastated that we can't get to be at the game live, but the game will be a sellout. It's going to be a fantastic spectacle. We appreciate your time. And Jerome Luai, Brian Toto and the likes are... they're pretty hard, you know, they don't seem to get too flat, or the smiles are on their faces. Are you going to try and get them to contain it just a little bit, or is it just enjoy it again?
No, you just got to let them go, mate. I think that's one of the beauties about being in this team, is that everyone's allowed to be themselves, and everyone just enjoys each other's company and playing alongside each other. So, you know, again, it comes back to a week like this. You got to enjoy it, not overthink it. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how they go about it this week.
Go get them, brother. Awesome. Go get them, Natty.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
It's NRL Grand Final week, of course, and this week is littered. I mean, we had Nathan Cleary on today, but MG, there's more in store this week as we build.
We only just scratched the surface, my friend.
So much to get through this week. Plenty of rugby league to talk about, but there was a heap of other sport over the weekend, so we play this.
Has MG been paying attention?
Now, my best bet is that anything that happened post the Panthers prelim win...
It's blurry. I did watch the UFC yesterday and saw the Alex the Great prevail, so...
Well, I'll be interested to see how well you go in this. First one, MG, what's the sport, what's the story?
They get three quick ones, and we're back to a one-point grand final.
Yeah, Melbourne just demolished the Western Bulldogs in the AFL grand final.
Melbourne are the premiers for 2021. A 74-point win for the Demons.
74 points.
It's a drubbing, isn't it?
Well, and here's the thing. The final scoreline was a drubbing, but it was a great grand final.
Yeah.
It was a fantastic game.
I watched probably off and on, maybe, you know, half of the game. I started watching it straight after the footy, and then we kind of congregated around my little fire pit. And,
yes.
In and out of walking to the fridge to get a couple of beers, I would sit and watch for a while. And then one stage there, it was, as the commentary said, then it was only one point in it. It looked like it was intense. And then Melbourne just went, see you later.
It had everything. It was a great game. And Perth did a fantastic job of hosting that.
How good were the entertainment? Birds of Tokyo.
Our mate, Ian Kenny, we spoke to last week. The Dogs kicked 16 of the last 17 goals of the game. It was an incredible finish run. There was one bloke whose performance left a little bit to be desired, and he's Triple M's very own Basil Zemplis.
Yeah, I know.
Who robbed Simon Goodwin, the coach of the D's, of the chance to give his speech.
I know.
And Goody had it prepared. This is a club that hadn't won a premiership since 1964. Goody was ready to, Paul Roos style, lift the cup, say, this is us, and Basil never gave him the microphone.
Wasn't this coach of Melbourne under the pump to keep
in a,
his job?
In a massive way. In a massive way. It was Madge McGuire-esque.
Take note. Those teams that are quick to pull the trigger and fire coaches.
Absolutely. All right, next one, MG. What's the sport? What's the story?
Do you think you still have the stamina to out-party all these guys tonight?
Absolutely.
No, Ryder Cup. The Americans done it again.
That guarantees the United States a half point, and that is going to be enough to win this Ryder Cup.
And similarly to the Melbourne Demons, they thumped Europe 19-9. They won. They absolutely put the Europeans to the sword on singles day. So
I saw McIlroy after it. He wasn't real happy.
A little bit teary, in fact.
Yeah. It's a massive thing, isn't it? That's the Ryder Cup. It's really big. The Yanks have won, a few in a row, is it?
On paper, and to do MG's paper test for the Ryder Cup, if you'd done the paper test, you would have had America winning in a canter because they've got 8 of the top 10 players in the world at the moment are Americans. And Dustin Johnson, and they've got Bryson DeChambeau, who at one point, I think in his singles match, drove the green. And par sent four. The crowd into absolute raptures, and then picked up his putter while he was still on the tee block and just marched down the fairway holding his putter in the air. I mean,
see, that's entertainment.
Yeah, it was. And it's a fantastic tournament. You can see how much they enjoy playing team, though, when individual athletes get to play in a team environment.
Yeah,
they
awesome,
bloody love it. All right, last one, MG. What's the sport? What's the story?
I do that every time. I'm a normal human being. I've said it time and time again.
Hopefully we've got him on the show this week. Alexander the Great Volkanovski, who, in my way of thinking at the moment, is, along with Sam Kerr, probably our two best sports people on the planet.
Wow.
Still champion of the world, Alexander the Great
Jeez, they can stretch out an announcement in that sport, can't they?
Brucey Buffer.
Volk retained his UFC featherweight belt, defeating Brian Ortega in a unanimous decision. And the talking point from this one, MG, not only the fact that Conor McGregor was, from Alex's perspective, having a few of his proper 12 and tweeting about the fight, but also that he got caught in a guillotine, a front chokehold.
And got caught in a couple.
And everyone was expecting him to pass out.
Yeah, well, that's what Brian Ortega's, that's his go-to. He's a submission artist, and he's also a great fighter. And twice he was in trouble, and it looked like any less a man, because even after the fight, Ortega said, when I had him in the guillotine, I heard him gargling.
Gargling.
And he was just about to faint, but I don't know what he's got inside him. He's so fit. He's so, so fit.
Cardio.
It's cardio all for days, brother.
And he is awesome.
He's just such a great Aussie. We're so proud of him.
He is. He's an awesome New South Wales man. Well done to Alex Volkanovski, the great. Retains his UFC featherweight belt. And now people are starting to have the conversation. Is he the greatest featherweight of all time, MD?
Well, at the moment, there's also a talk about he should be number two on the list as far as pound for pound, goes in the UFC after Usman.
Wow.
So, yeah, he's Kamaru Usman is the number one because he's had so many, you know, title fights. And but I'll tell you, at the moment, Alex is getting closer and closer to the top of the hill.
Just a fantastic weekend of sport. We do have to get out of here, though. Massive week coming up. NRL Grand Final week. We're going to be going inside the camps of both teams. We're going to be breaking it all down. We've got to get out of here now.
Yeah, can't wait. And thank you so much for your ears, as always. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay random.